proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another lesson relating to Jewish Bible interpretation. In the previous session, we presented the Jewish claim that the servant of Isaiah chapter 53 alluded to the nation of Israel as an entity. Over the next few minutes, in this session and the one to follow, this study will focus on reasons supporting the Christian idea that the servant of Isaiah 53 depicted the Messiah, specifically Jesus Christ. The first part of the opening verse in Isaiah chapter 42 talks about God's servant. However, this verse seems to refer to a specific individual. Consider the language used, quote, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth." As far as being upheld, well, God has continued to maintain the Jewish people's national identity, even during times when Israel itself was occupied. God has allowed the Jewish people to experience the wrath of his judgments. For example, he used Assyrians as his means of judging the Jewish people around Isaiah's day. The word translated for uphold is the Hebrew verb tamach. It denoted support or sustenance. That verb appeared literally in Exodus chapter 17, with regard to Aaron and Hur lifting up Moses' hands at the battlefield of Rephidim. David used the term metaphorically in Psalm 41, when he wrote about God upholding him. Thus, the idea of being upheld applies more to individuals than it does to groups. What about being a delight? Denoting Israel as the object of God's delight does not seem to correspond with other passages in Isaiah. In those sections, God harshly criticized the Jewish nation for their ungodly practices. Take God's language in the first chapter of Isaiah, for example. He described the Jewish people as a, quote, "sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors," unquote. That language hardly sounds like words God would use to describe someone or some group that he took delight in. Then consider Isaiah chapter 5, how God declared, quote, "He looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry," unquote. Those phrases do not seem to describe a society in which the Lord took any pleasure. Returning again to the passage in Isaiah 42, God declared that, quote, "I have put my spirit upon him," unquote. Various Old Testament verses indicate that God performed this action not on behalf of groups, but on behalf of specific individuals. For instance, the author of Judges 3 wrote that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel, who was the first of Israel's judges, enabling him to lead a successful revolt against the nation's Mesopotamian oppressors. Furthermore, the first verse in Isaiah 42 concluded that God's servant, quote, "shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles," unquote. The Jewish nation did not fulfill that role. Indeed, they aspired to be like all the other nations around them. According to 1 Samuel 8, when they asked Samuel to make a king for them, they did so, quote, "that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us, and fight our battles," unquote. The Jewish people even adopted idolatrous practices, such as sacrificing their children to Molech. The Jews did not bring light to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ, however, when he preached the gospel, brought light and life to all around him. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another lesson relating to Jewish Bible interpretation.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.